Yasoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gobhaktavinda. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedana Shivasani Go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Bo, Gaura Hare Bo. Faster on the cartels. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hari bo, Hari bo, Hari bo, go Hari bo. Ani taiga Hari bo, Hari bo, Hari bo, go Hari bo. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya 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 Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jai 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 Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Gaura Premanandi, Jai Nitya Lila Prabhishnu Mishupaya Brahmahamsa. Parivraj Gachayar Sitara Sri Shri Srimad, the Divine Loving Grace Shri Lesi Bhaktivananda Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Nitya Lila Prabhishnu Mishumpaya Paramahamsa. Parivraj Gachayar Sitara Sri Shri Srimad, the Divine Grace Shri Bhaktisananda Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anandakodi Vaishnavarindi Ki Jai. Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsi Gahosh Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuntananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhaktivani Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogovinath Shama Kundarara Kunigiri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Namadip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Purushottama Kshetra Jagannathpuri Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Shrimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Yugadam Harinam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai Shishi Rara Marvasta Shaki Ki Jai Shri Panchatapa Ki Jai Prahlad Maharaj Mishingre Bhagavan Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Founder Charya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samveda Bhaktivini Ki Jai All glories to some devotees All glories to some devotees All glories to some devotees All glories Lotus feet of Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य ननुं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances under the personality of Godhead Narayan, under Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, our translator, commentator, and dearmost spiritual master. Nasta praishabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavari naishtiki. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 14, Text Number 6, I believe, right? Okay, yeah. Palayanti Praja Pala Yavad Antam Vibhagashaha Yagya Bhaga Bujo Deva Ye Cha Tatranvitas Cha Tai Palyanti Brajapala Yavarantam Vibhagashaha Yagya Bhaga Bujo Deva Yecha tatranvitas chatai. Yecha tatranvitas chatai. Palyanti brajapala. Yavarantam vibhagashaha. Yagya bhaga buja devo. Yecha chatranvitas chatai. Yantas prajapala yavarantam vibhagashaha yagyabhaga buja deva yecha tantravitas chatai. Palayanti Brajapala Yavarantam Vibhagashaha Yagya Bhaga Bujo Deva Tantrastajatatai. Palayanti Brajapala Yavarantam Vibhagashaha Yagya Bhaga Bujo Deva Yecha Tatranvitas Chatai. Matajis. Palayanti Brajapala Yavarantam Vibhagashaha Yagya Bhaga Bujo Deva Palayanti, execute the order. Prajapala, the rulers of the world, namely the sons and grandsons of Manu. Yavarantam, unto the end of Manu's reign. Vibhagashaha, in divisions. Yajnabhagabhuja, the enjoyers of the result of yajnas. Devaha, the demigods. Ye, others. Cha, also. Trata anvita, engaged in that business. Cha, also. Tai, by them. Translation. To enjoy the results of sacrifices, yajnas, the rulers of the world, namely the sons and grandsons of Manu, discharge the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until the end of Manu's reign. The demigods also share the results of these sacrifices. Please repeat. To enjoy the results of sacrifices, yajnas, the rulers of the world, namely the sons and grandsons of Manu, discharge the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until the end of Manu's reign. The demigods also share the results of these sacrifices. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 2, Evam parampara praptam imam raja seo vidhu. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. This parampara system extends from Manu to Ikshvaku, and from Ikshvaku to his sons and grandsons. The rulers of the world in the line of hierarchy execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Parampara system. Anyone interested in peaceful life must participate in this Parampara system and perform yajnas. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas in the Parampara system of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we must perform Sankirtan Yajna all over the world. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedashaha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this age of Kali, and he will be easily satisfied if the Sankirtan movement is spread vigorously all over the world. This will also make people happy, without a doubt. Translation again. To enjoy the results of sacrifices, yajnas, the rulers of the world, namely the sons and grandsons of Manu, discharge the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until the end of Manu's reign. The demigods also share the results of these sacrifices. Om Agyana Timananda Syaganjana Salakaya Chakshurung Militam Jena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Shvayam Rupa Gadamayam Dharati Shva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parishana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamstha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jigapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapt Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishubhanu Suddevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Putitanam Bhavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So welcome everyone to Srimad Bhagavatam class. And I feel very honored to be here in Mayapur in general. I want to first of all pray for the mercy of all the acharyas, all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially my godbrothers, and all the other devotees, that I may be blessed to be able to say something a little bit useful. This, for me, being in Mayapur, feels like a great homecoming. I was here just briefly, about 20 years now. And before that, I was here. I had the great fortune of being with the Guru Kripa Maharaj and the Sankirtan party in Japan. And we were had the responsibility of fundraising and collecting donations to build these temples in the Holy Dham, which Prabhupada considered extremely important. Prabhupada considered that if he had major centers in the whole, in both Vrindavan and Mayapur, it would really help the Krishna consciousness movement in India become strongly rooted. And but Prabhupada had no idea where the funds were going to come for such temple. So one sannyasi at the time, Guru Kripa Maharaj, said, "Prabhupada, I will get the money for you." He had no idea where he was going to get it from. And he heard from actually Gopal Prabhu, another god brother who was in Japan at the time, said Japanese people are very charitable. So Guru Kripa went to Japan. I joined the party in, I think it was 74, and for the next about 3.5 years did fundraising. And we were able to start the construction in both Mayapur and Vrindavan. But somehow or other, that service enabled me the great good fortune of to be here in Mayapur and Vrindavan. Especially my memories are in Mayapur when Srila Prabhupada was here. And that time was really special. Those devotees who were here at that time, Prabhupada would come down every morning and give Srimad Bhagavatam class and Guru Puja. And this tradition now that we have Prabhupada on the on the palanquin being carried around in the temple and then stopping at the bell and ringing the bell. This was Srila Prabhupada's pastime. And Prabhupada would come off the Vyasasan, come up, we would be enthusiastically ringing the bell and then hand the rope to Prabhupada. Prabhupada would ring the bell, and probably about 100, mostly brahmacharis, as I recall, I'm sure everyone was dancing, but we were about this far off the ground. And then in the evening, we were able to come and have darshan almost every evening in Srila Prabhupada's room. So it's, Mayapur is very different now in a lot of ways, hardly recognizable from those early days. And you know, we were so intimate then with Srila Prabhupada. But as it said in Shastra, Lava Matra, the pure devotee is so potent that 1/8 or 1/9, whatever it is, of a moment is sufficient if one uses that association properly to become serious. And to go back to Godhead. So these series of chapters here are discussing the Manus. And the Manus, of course, the main Manus are all sons of Brahma. Sons of Brahma or grandsons of Brahma, like that. And then sons of their sons. And they are the great progenitors of humankind. The Lord has a perfect system of management that's set up. Because the purpose of creation is not just wanton sense enjoyment, but it's to allow us for an opportunity to, within the context of having a conditioned material body and material nature, to be able to learn to perform yajna and to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then eventually go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna's got his perfect management situation. And the Manus, of course, you know, are extremely exalted personalities, where these all are leading up to the description of Kasyapa Muni and Aditi. And their Aditi is giving birth to Lord Vamanadev. And the whole pastime of Bali Maharaj is about to be explained. So the purpose of this management is so that the prajas, the living entities, can learn how to perform yajna. And so it's very, very important to manage in such a way so there's, so spiritual, taking up spiritual life becomes something natural. You know, the kings of ancient days, these Raja Rishis, were incredibly powerful, not just in terms of their physical and mental strength, but they were, many of them, they were Rajrishis. They were very, very advanced spiritually. And they took the protection of the citizens and the institution of religious principles extremely serious. So now that things have degraded in Kali Yuga, we have a completely different situation. But we have so many examples there, and we can take these examples to heart and learn, no matter what our duty is, because we're all responsible. We all have to be responsible managers for our own selves and for our own sadhana. And so we have to manage in such a way so that we have plenty of time for the core activities of Krishna consciousness, essentially chanting Hare Krishna, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the other shastras, and so doing, of course, kirtan, temple program, and associating with the with devotees in that context. And if we simply apply ourselves properly to that formula, we will very quickly become self-realized. But we have to apply ourselves. And there's many obstacles on the path of devotional service. And because we have this material body and we're absorbed in our material senses and we're used to just understanding things through our gross senses, we're not completely aware of what those impediments are. Just like the prayer we chant, Namaste to Srila Prabhupada, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvisesha, Shunyavadi, Paskacha, Deshatarine. Now I thought when I was a new devotee that this is Prabhupada, you know, preaching to the impersonalists and people like that. And then over time I realized, gosh, that's me. I'm the one, you know, hopelessly covered by these deep anarthas, impersonalism and voidism. And the root of these things they're very, very deeply rooted, and there are obstacles in making advancement in Krishna consciousness. So the secret is not simply what we're doing, but how we're doing it. And the association of devotees is essential for that. Not just only associating with devotees, because we can use that term very loosely, but associating with devotees in the proper mindset and the proper context. And as we advance in devotional service, gradually we'll start to realize that Krishna is everything. Krishna is, you know, also spread throughout the material energy. He's especially the devotees who are engaged in his service. And therefore, we're not just dealing with devotees. We're dealing with Krishna. And so, we want to associate in such a way so we can help ourselves and other devotees make spiritual advancement, make progressive spiritual advancement. I remember when I first joined the movement in San Francisco in 1972. And back then, actually, I was Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj was commenting how at that time, the relationship we had with our authority, which is like temple commander, temple president, like that. First of all, if a devotee had joined the temple, you know, a couple months prior to you, he was like way older than you, considered, and you'd offer him respect like that. So we would offer respect to our authorities, basically like devotees offer respect to sannyasis nowadays. And the atmosphere was very, very surcharged. And it was only after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance I realized how much Srila Prabhupada's personal association, personal presence on the planet, even we weren't in his personal presence, but just Prabhupada personally being on the planet was so incredibly powerful that it lifted us up. Just knowing Prabhupada was on the planet, and eventually we could see Prabhupada, we could write him a letter, and his presence could be felt, so powerful. And it was so, and the thing about the pure devotee also is that it says that no one can understand the mind of a pure devotee. Pure devotee, how powerful is he? He's Sakshat Hari. He's non-different from Krishna. He's the external manifestation of Supersoul. But he deals like Krishna, just like, I remember the first time I read the Mahabharata. And it was so interesting because, you know, the Bhagavatam, there's so many stories and interactions, especially the 10th canto now, interactions with Krishna. We can get that sense of how Krishna interacts with his devotees. And he, because he's God and he knows everything and he knows the heart of the devotee, he deals with each devotee perfectly according to the nature of that devotee. And so Prabhupada was like that also. And Prabhupada was able to bring together all these big false egos of persons who were serious in spiritual life but so different from each other in so many different ways. He was able to bring everyone in together. And because of that, because of everyone's, you know, our faith in Srila Prabhupada and who he was, we were willing to do anything. Just out of the blue, a devotee would, Prabhupada said, you're going to London and open a temple. Devotee would go to London and sit on the street and chant, and then somehow or other things would come together and a temple, incredible temple, would manifest. So many magical things happened in those early days. Not that magical things aren't happening now. There's so many wonderful things happening. But because we had the personal the personal association of the personal example of Srila Prabhupada, we could see with our eyes, we could hear with our ears, we could, it was so palpable, we could see what is pure devotion. I remember in 1976 that we were, our party was here in Mayapur with Prabhupada, and something happened, and temple commander, I don't know if he got sick or left or whatever, but Jai Bhataka Maharaj needed a temple commander. So he told Guru Kripa Maharaj, yeah, I need one of your men to be temple commander. So he volunteered me. And so I became temple commander. And this was about 2.5 months, I think about 2.5 months before the Lord Chaitanya Festival. And in 1976, those devotees may remember who were here, who, you know, heard about it. There were so many devotees came to the festival. The devotees chartered a 747 plane. And it was packed with the devotees. And I heard that devotees on the plane stood up, started having a kirtan, and the plane started going like that. The stewardess had to come back and make the devotees sit down. And so at that time, the perimeter wall, the perimeter of the property was right across here from the Lotus Building. That series of offices that goes all the way to the Bhaktisiddhanta Road, and then that parallels the road, those offices that go off all the way pretty much to the Prasadam Pavilion over there. I mean, I guess there's a Prasadam Pavilion. There are so many other things over there now. That was the boundary of Mayapur. And behind here also, it was all fields. There was nothing else. And so we were in the process of constructing those rooms so devotees could come and have a place to stay. And we were behind schedule. So all the devotees who came early. And so I had the opportunity at that time of temple commander. I had carte blanche. I could go into Prabhupada's room whenever I wanted. But I was very, very careful, because every time I would go into Prabhupada's room, I'd feel very meek and like, you know, I was just bothering him. But Prabhupada was so popular at that time, people were already coming from all over India, and Prabhupada would speak to them in Hindi and Bengali. And so I would come in the room many times, just sit in the corner and just hear Prabhupada speak, didn't understand what he was saying. But I remember just watching him, his facial expressions, the way his hands moved, it was like pure poetry. It's like where it says, in the spiritual world, every word is a song, every gate is a dance. Watching Prabhupada was like, you know, watching the absolute truth in person. Every gesture of Srila Prabhupada's was so meaningful. During that time also, and forgive me if you've already heard these pastimes, I already told a few over at the Sunday program of the Russian place. But for me, they're very, very significant, and they really give an important example that is so essential, was so essential in my upbringing in Krishna consciousness, helped me become such a solid devotee. Because this is the standard we're all trying to get to. And Prabhupada let us know by his own example that it is possible that we can do this. We can achieve the impossible in this lifetime and become an advanced devotee in Krishna consciousness. It's not easy. It takes a lot of time. But we have to get the examples that give us the determination so that we can do it. So during this time, the devotees who came early during the Lord Chaitanya Festival, I was trying to get every early devotee, because I was temple commander and I was in charge of building these rooms. And if these rooms weren't ready by the time the devotees came, I'd have hell to pay for it. With Prabhupada here, especially, there'd be no end to the chastisement I'd receive. So I felt it was a kind of an emergency situation. We were behind schedule. So every devotee who was coming early for the festival, I grabbed them and asked them to please help. And there was one devotee who really got under my skin. He was a very strong, very looked like a very powerful devotee, black body devotee, as I recall, from somewhere in the U.S. He would only take morning prasadam. He'd sit out in the banana patch, and he'd chant rounds all day long. He wouldn't do any service. And it bothered me so much that after a certain period, I couldn't take it anymore. So I went to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was sitting in his room, and I came in, offered my dandavat to Srila Prabhupada, stood up on my knees, and Prabhupada was sitting there like he would often sit. You see pictures of him with this incredible aristocratic, regal look on his face, with his knee up, his arm on his knee, chanting on his beads. He had his face turned to within his room, away from me. And he was just quietly chanting, obviously in another world. So I offer my obeisances, you know, I knelt in front of him. And immediately, I felt like I shouldn't even be here. I felt like, wow, I'm bothering Prabhupada, I'm like so insignificant. But I had to speak my mind. So Prabhupada didn't even acknowledge me at first. He just kept chanting on his beads. And then after a while, which seemed like an eternity, he looked over to me and he said, and he didn't completely look, he just kind of turned his head a little bit. And he said, yes. I said, Srila Prabhupada, please forgive me for disturbing you, but I've got a problem. He said, yes, what is it? I said, Prabhupada, you know, we're behind schedule on finishing the rooms. The devotees are coming in less than a month, and we may not have the rooms ready for them. Every devotee who's coming early, I'm asking them to please help, put in at least some effort to help. And there's one devotee, very strong body devotee from the U.S., he's come early, and he won't do any service. He simply sits in the banana patch all day and just chants Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada turned back and continued chanting. And I was like, I don't know how long, it seemed like an eternity. It was probably about 30 seconds or something. And then he looked at me, he looked right at me, and he said, so, you think chanting Hare Krishna is not service? That is the greatest service. And when he went like this, you've seen those pictures of Prabhupada, when his eyes got really big like that. And my false ego went, whoop. And I felt like a quarter centimeter tall. And what could I say? I just said, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And meekly crawled out of his room. It was very instructive. And, you know, I remember that to this day. And also, you know, everything Prabhupada did was so instructive that one day there was every day Prabhupada would go on the morning walk and he would assemble with the devotees first up on Jayapataka Maharaj's roof in the Lotus Building. And I was staying out on one of the rooms by the street out there, the other end of the property, and it was dark. It was just starting to become light. And I could see Prabhupada up there on the roof as I came out of my room with the devotees, and I got really excited. I said, wow, now I can be a part of the morning walk with Prabhupada. So I ran as fast as I could. I went up all the stairs up to Jayapataka Maharaj's room, went up to the roof there, Srila Prabhupada's there with all the devotees. Prabhupada's already talking, they're already recording, Prabhupada's talking about some aspect of philosophy. I offer my obeisances. I walk up to where the devotees are. Prabhupada notices me, immediately stops, what he's talking about with the devotees, it's not even light yet. It's becoming light. He points his cane all the way over to a light bulb that's on all the way in the front of the property where I just came from, and he said, "Why is that light bulb on?" I was like, wow. Jai Srila Prabhupada, offer my obeisances, ran down the stairs all the way into the property, turned off the light. So this was Srila Prabhupada. This Prabhupada could see Krishna in everything. And he never missed anything. He would walk around the property and be in the same way absorbed in talking about some deep philosophical point. There'd be a faucet there dripping. Drip, drip, drip. Prabhupada would stop what he's saying. He would turn, he would point to the faucet, and he would ask, usually, Baba Taka Maharaj or Baba Nanda Maharaj, he would say, "Why is that dripping?" And immediately they would have to fix it. So this is really instructive. Srila Prabhupada used to say that proper management means that we get more time for Krishna consciousness. This is really the essence of everything we're doing. It's so easy to become diverted. It's so easy. I see that in myself, these subtle contaminations of these anarthas are so strong, and the tendency to become deviated from Krishna consciousness due to especially our Western upbringing is so strong that, you know, we need really the association, constant association of devotees. We need to be in a constant prayerful mindset so we can cross this great ocean of birth and death. One more example, if I can. I don't know what time it is. Oh, there it is, 10 to 9. One other pastime I think I'll tell, because this is really instructive in terms of management. So it was during the festival, and the GBC were having their meetings. Prabhupada would come down, and every morning give Bhagavatam class and the and his Guru Puja. And all the devotees were there, all the leaders, all the sannyasis, all the GBC. Everyone was there at that time. But GBC meetings were going on until all hours of the evening. And there was, maybe one, two sannyasis from Mangalartik, maybe one GBC coming from Mangalartik, because they were tired. They were up all hours, you know, managing important service, managing, you know, the movement, helping Prabhupada manage the movement so that Prabhupada could spend his time, you know, translating Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And, you know, Prabhupada really, of course, you know, appreciated they were doing very important service. And at Sundarartik, though, because their meetings would happen, I guess, around that time, there was nobody. I don't remember, maybe one or two sannyasis who weren't GBCs were there. No GBCs were there. So I went into Prabhupada's room, and I said, "Srila Prabhupada, offer my obeisances." I said, "You know, I just thought you should know that when you come down for the program in the morning, all your disciples are there, all the GBCs, all the Godbrothers, the whole movement that's come to Mayapur, everyone is there at that time. But in the evening, during Sundarartik, because of GBC meetings, nobody's coming to Sundarartik, one, two sannyasis. In the morning, one, two sannyasis, maybe one GBC meeting person is coming because, you know, they're doing their meetings late. Prabhupada said, "Thank you very much." Sent me out. He called the GBC in. He said, "From now on, your meetings will end a half an hour before Sundarartik. All of you must attend Sundarartik." And he said, "You must all attend Mangalartik also." And I remember the first morning when all of our godbrothers, you know, the senior godbrothers, in the movement were there. I could feel literally the faith in my heart just like increase like anything. So these things are all really important, and we can take instruction from. And we should organize our life, manage our life in such a way that our main business is spent chanting Hare Krishna, becoming Krishna conscious, associating with devotees to read Srila Prabhupada's books and to cultivate our Krishna consciousness. Because we have very, very little time left. Literally, we have very little time left. It's just like Prabhupada sometimes talks about those day. And we are like those insects. We think 100 years is a long time. We're reading about the Manus. How long does one Manu live? There's, what, 1,000 yugas, Divya yugas, right? That's, I think, the reign of one Manu. It's incalculable how long Manu lives. We think 100 years is a long time. There's very little time left. Yet we've been given this process that's so incredibly powerful that we can complete it in one lifetime. But it takes an incredible degree of sincerity that we alone don't possess. So we have to find the tools and the association and the mercy to be able to come determined in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, corrections? Yes, Prabhuji. Here's a... My name is Bana Bhatta Das.
Hare Krishna, Bana Bhatta Das, Prabhu. You mentioned how it's not about what we do, it's about how we are doing. So I was just saying that in two purports in a row, yesterday's purport and today's purport of the verse, in the end of the purport, Prabhupada mentions how we should be preaching all over the world. So could you just give me a little more understanding what you actually mean about it's not about what we do, it's about how we do, because it seems here so direct, we should just go out, we should be preaching out there, you know. But then there's so many service, we have so many devotees, they're seemingly not going all over the world, but they're still in the highest degree of Krishna consciousness. So could you give me a little better understanding how to understand what Prabhupada is saying?
So yeah, we have to preach Lord Chaitanya's mission all over the world. But we have to begin with ourselves. There's also a whole world inside us that needs Krishna consciousness. So, you know, just like we're chanting Hare Krishna, the first realization we get when we're chanting Hare Krishna is that we're not the controller. Isn't it? Isn't that one of the first realizations we get when we're chanting Hare Krishna? We realize we're not the controller. And if we think we're the doer, if we actually think we're the controller, what potency will we have to spread Krishna consciousness? Of course, we have to do it anyway. But, you know, Krishna consciousness, we're instructed also, Krishna consciousness should be practiced in the proper mood. And it's also a fact that Bhakti Devi is independent. It's not that we're performing some activity and Krishna has to give us the result of our sadhana. So the more we learn to become completely dependent on Krishna, completely dependent on His holy name, not simply dependent on some externals. And it's a, you know, it's a fine line. We have all these tools now to engage in Krishna consciousness, just like we have a cell phone, which is an incredible tool to be able to push on Krishna consciousness. It's also an incredible tool to make us think that we are some big controller. Ultimately, really only Krishna Himself, Srila Prabhupada, can spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And if we're surrendered, then they can spread Krishna consciousness through us. What can we do on our own? So we should be thinking like that. And whatever stage of Krishna consciousness we're at, we should understand where we're at. Someone said that once that the definition of sincerity is to understand where we're at and where the ideal is and the distance in between. So it's really important. Probably I would say, in my humble opinion, the most important aspect of Krishna consciousness is to understand where we are at in our spiritual development in any given period of time. And that's only possible to understand through proper association with devotees. So I don't know if that helped at all. Anyone else? Yes, Mataji? Can we get the microphone? Thank you, Rajendra Nandan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for such a wonderful class and description about Srila Prabhupada, so beautiful. Prabhu, I wanted to ask, my experience, when I distribute books, and whenever some problem comes in the life, then I was not so affected by these problems. My mind was kind of happy and free. But when I do other service and problems come, then I feel more disturbed. Why it's like that? What is
you mean when you do other service besides book distribution?
Yeah. Why it's such a big difference? When I was distributing books, such amazing feelings, you know, like continuously for some 1 year, a long time before. And it was actually the best time for me. But then so much disturbed mind. When some little problem comes, so much disturbed mind. Why it's like that? Even I chant, I try, I understand in theory, I understand that it's useless, but still so much, like some pain, so affected. Why?
You're saying disturbance comes when you go out on book distribution also?
Book distribution, then problems comes, not affected mind so much by problems. It's quite, feel happy.
Well, maybe Krishna's trying to tell you that you should do book distribution as your service. Yeah, I mean, we're all individuals and we all have services that are, you know, more conducive to us. And Krishna gives us indications in many different ways. You know, as we develop our Krishna consciousness, you know, these things, the internal process of Krishna consciousness is really important. That's why we need association of like-minded devotees. Because it's very difficult to understand so many things, especially as we progress in Krishna consciousness. Because these anarthas are really powerful. They're keeping everyone and in this world in complete illusion. And you know, the process of extricating these things is a meticulous process, and it takes, you know, a lot of you know, of the right association and the right service and engaging us in such a way. You know, there's also, you know, always a special degree of mercy in my experience when we go out and we actually go out on Sankirtan, book distribution, or Harinam. Because we're giving the holy name out to others. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's no one more dear to me than he who, you know, preaches to others about Krishna consciousness. So there's an extra degree of mercy there, and if you can take advantage of that, then it's really, really powerful. Yeah. Who's next?
Thank you for giving class this stories about Srila Prabhupada. Bhanubhata Prabhu, we want to know how we can develop our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Because you said that when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet, you can see him, you can hear by your ears, and so on. So how can we develop our relationship with Srila Prabhupada?
Well, you're already developing your relation with Prabhupada. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You know, because Prabhupada's potency is unlimited, and all the, you know, direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada, grand disciples, disciples of their disciples, everyone is receiving the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. You know, there's the Vani, there's the Vapu, there's a personal association of the spiritual master, and there's the Vani, the instructions of the spiritual master, and we're all Shiksha disciples, no matter who we are. We're all Shiksha disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And so we're all receiving his mercy like that. But it's also really beneficial. We have, you know, all these memories that Siddhanta Prabhu has put together with different God brothers, God sisters talking about Srila Prabhupada. We have books from the early devotees, which, I mean, I find myself just reading those books and entering into the pastimes with Srila Prabhupada like that. It's called Satsarupa Maharaj's books. We have the association, you know, of God brothers and God sisters who had direct association with Prabhupada. In all these ways, we can, you know, absorb, you know, association with Srila Prabhupada. Someone else had a Prabhuji? I said Mataji first, then.
Prabhuji, I just wanted one request. This Sankirtan pastime of yours in Japan, where the bikers were throwing the book, could you just share that with everyone?
Where who was?
You were in Japan, and there were some bikers, and they threw the book on the ground. This okay. Is one of my favorite Sankirtan pastimes.
Maharaji, maybe another time. We don't really have time now. Next class. I thought I talked about myself enough already. Okay, I'll tell the brief. If they actually weren't bikers, they were Yakuza, they were Japanese mafia. And we were in Japan, we were distributing with our dhotis still, but after the first year, police were always coming up to us, and we had this pastime with the police, we were always running from the police. And somehow or other, by Krishna's yoga maya, they hardly ever caught us. But Tokyo was becoming more and more hot. And you know, we really stuck out in our dhotis. So we were going farther and farther away from Tokyo to find good Sankirtan spots. So I hopped on the train. I went about an hour from Tokyo. I got off at a station. It looked like a good spot. I could see there was a little shopping center. It was just a regular shopping street. It had a cover on it in case it rains. And it was just a couple blocks long. So I got off. I was distributing. We had these small magazines about this big with, on the front cover, it was a picture of Guru Kripa's Gornitai, Didi's Chota Gornitai. Remember those? Didi's Pankajangri? I mean, Janani Vas. And on the back, was a picture of the Prasadam Pavilion with some very hungry Bengali kids with their hand almost full of khichdi about to put in their mouth like that on the back cover. And it helped us in our distribution methods to get donations. And it was a small magazine. They were only like half size, this big. So I was distributing, and I was feeling especially empowered that day. And even old ladies were giving me like 1,000 yen, which was about, I don't know, $6-7. So I was distributing, everything was going really good, I was feeling really blissful. And all of a sudden I noticed that the entire block I was in were all gambling places. In Japan they call it pachinko. It's like a national pastime. There are these kind of pinball machines that are upright, and they flick a lever, and a metal ball goes in between these different nails, and if it goes into a certain hole, they can like win something or win some money or something. And it's very loud. The whole street of these pachinko halls, you could hear, made this like shh sound. And so I noticed as I was distributing, a couple of very rough looking characters started congregating on the side where I was distributing. And they were really angry. They were wearing like kind of like suits and these kind of looks like gangster hats. And they were like starting to, you know, talk angrily and point towards me. I ignored them. I had my service to do. I kept distributing. And then more and more of them starting to congregate. And all of a sudden I noticed that one of them had the tip of his pinky cut off. This is a sign I knew somehow of a Yakuza, which is a Japanese mafia. And to show allegiance to the gang, they cut off the pinky like that. And so I'm like, wow, this is like Japanese mafia. And there was a bunch of them. They were like, all of a sudden, there were like 10 of them or 12 of them, I don't know. And they were starting to like yell at me and point fingers at me. And I kind of felt something was going to happen. So, but I tell you, I felt totally unaffected. I just felt really empowered by Lord Chaitanya that day. It was amazing. So then I noticed through the corner of my eyes, they sent one of their henchmen up to the end of the street. And it was really funny to watch. And he started walking. He started the end. He started walking towards me. It looked like, you ever see those westerns where they start out, you know, they're going to do a gunfight, and everyone is like kind of walking, kind of like trying to walk big, bigger than life, like an elephant. So they were walking like that, but it actually looks very comical because the Japanese are about this tall. They're really short. And he was walking down the street like this. And I just kept distributing like, you know, nothing was happening. And I mean, maybe I should have been a little concerned because he probably knew karate, judo, who knows what else. And, you know, he came up to where I was and I just kept distributing. And I could hear all the guys all of his buddies over there, they're all like, you know, this is going to be great, you know. And so he stopped right where I was. And I looked at him and I go, oh. And I took the magazine and said, dozo, yonde kudasai. Please take the magazine. Please take the magazine. Yonde, please read it. And take it. And he looks over at his friends and they go, yeah. And he looks at me and he rips the magazine out of my hand and he goes, Nandayo! Which in Japanese means the equivalent more or less of, what the hell is this? And he looks at the magazine like that. And I say, oh, kore wa indo kyuzai desu. Tasukete kudasai. Kore wa hontou ni kumatimasu. I said, oh, we're helping people in India. I said, please help. Please give a donation. Please help. And I bowed very low, very humbly, bowed like that. And he took the magazine. On one side is Gorni Thai. On the back, you know, as I mentioned, you know, my poor children eating prasadam. And he looked at his friends over there, and they went like, yeah. And he looked at me, grabbed the magazine, and he went, whoosh. And he threw it just like you would throw, like, you know, a flat rock in the water or a record or something. And the magazine, because it's kind of, you know, small, rectangular, it actually flew perfectly through the air like that until it hit the gutter. And I remember to this day the picture in my mind of seeing Gornitai on the cover going whoosh, 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 and then sticking halfway in the dirt, in the gutter. And this guy kept walking down the street. All his friends over there, oh, they're all laughing. And I stood transfixed, looking at Gornitai in the gutter, feeling this rage starting to build within me. And all of a sudden, after a few seconds or something, it became uncontrollable. And I wasn't even thinking, like, logically, because if I was, I would have never done this. So I ran up to the guy, I slapped my hand on his shoulder, I twisted him around, and he's like, what? Like, do you know who I am? And I tell you, I was on fire. And it wasn't just my rage. It was like Lord Narasimhadev. And I didn't know how to say it in Japan. But he just looked at him. I pointed to the book and I said, pick it up! And he was like, what? And I said it again. My face, like, you know, inches away from his face. I said, pick it up! Felt like I had fire coming out of my eyes. I was totally fearless. And I said, Ima, which means now. And all of a sudden, I could see his whole, he turned pale. He like lost, it was like his life force left his body. And he like looked over at his friends on the side. They couldn't believe it. They were all quiet. They were like, well, I don't know. And he looked back at me, and I said, pick it up, now! So he went over, picked up the book from the gutter, brushed off the dirt, handed it back to me. I said, dame, I wouldn't take it back. I was really mad. I figured he offended Gornitai, and now he was going to pay for it. So I said, everyone's giving a donation. Skoshi kifo negai shimasu, ima! And he was like, he looked it over his gang over there. They were like, I don't know, this wasn't in the script. And he looks back at me, I said, give a donation, now! He's like, he pulls out his wallet. I didn't want any change. I was like, he defended Gornitai, he's going to give a big donation. I said, Dai Tai Hitabitawa, 1,000 yen kudasaimash. Everyone gives 1,000 yen. He like looks over at his gang again, they're like, oh, I don't know. Pulls out a 1,000 yen note, hands it to me. I go, arigatou gozaimasu, domo. Then he went over to his friends with his tail between his legs. The leader of the group, because, you know, although they're like mafia, the Japanese, they have this big thing about honor. The leader of the group came up, patted me on the back, gave me a donation, and made every single person in the gang come up and give me a donation. So that was the day Lord Chaitanya defeated the Japanese Yakuza. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.